If I would call you sheep, I hope that none of you would take offense. Because biblically, that's what you are. You are sheep. Now, if I called you goats, that might be something different. But to call you sheep, I'm sure you would understand the context of which I speak. Because the Bible uses oftentimes that figure, the sheep and the shepherd. All of us are sheep in the world's pasture, and some sheep had gone astray, but God is the shepherd of us all. And then to carry it down closer, we have a situation where the pastor is the under shepherd, and you who make up the members of our church are my sheep. And in the non-traditional service this morning, we turned to 1 Peter, and we found some of the things that a pastor was supposed to do as a shepherd, and then there were some things following that Christians were supposed to do. Interestingly enough, in that study this morning in non-traditional, we talked about the sheep and the shepherd. So biblically, you folks are sheep. I want to talk to you about sheep have a destiny as well as a diet. And when I use the word diet, I'm referring to study, eating the Word of God. So sheep have a destiny as well as a diet. Another title of the sermon could be this: it's hard to be heard by the herd when the herd's heads are down on the ground eating. I found that in Pastor Jack Hayford's bulletin several weeks ago. I've never mentioned his name from the pulpit. He's the pastor of the church in Southern California that is a Four Square church. It's a church where Pat Boone attends on occasions. And he had in his bulletin about this eating, he said, it's hard to be heard by the herd when the herd's heads are down to the ground eating. So the picture is this. We have a shepherd, namely me, who's up on this knoll, if you can get the picture, and he's waving his rod, and he's waving his arms back and forth, and he's saying, hey, sheep, attention. Attention, sheep. I've got something to tell you. I've got something to tell you. Hey, sheep. And the sheep continue to graze along, very content. And somebody, one sheep might say, did you hear anything? Did you hear anything? And the sheep eating next to that sheep would say, well, I don't think so. The shepherd keeps on waving, blowing his Dick Tracy whistle. Hey, I want your attention, people. And the sheep keep on eating. And one sheep says, you know, I still think I heard something. It sounded like a whistle. Well, forget it. Let's keep on eating. And so the sheep keep on eating. One sheep would say, I'm enjoying the pasture so much, I just can't bring myself to look up and see. Well, the chief shepherd, Jesus, has under-shepherds, pastors. And as an under-shepherd, I'm his apprentice. And I have a task of doing two things. One, leading my sheep. And two, feeding my sheep. It's very important that sheep be fed. It's also very important that sheep be led. Now, we have a herd of happy sheep in Community Church, and our flock members are very known for their praiseful situations from time to time where we have praised God. We are known in our circle of helping and comforting and protecting each other when storms come. We're known in our circle for bearing young and for producing wool with a steady consistency. And the sheep seem to uniformly like their diet that they're giving. When the pastor says we're going to eat here for a while in a series or at a particular time, the sheep tie in and they eat at that time. However, there are some shepherdly distinctives that need to be registered by the flock. So here we have the flock. As the shepherd, I want to register some distinctives which require the sheep to perk up their ears. Now, can you imagine almost 400 sheep ears picking up, listening to this pastor, shepherd? Sometimes it's difficult to get the sheep to stop feeding long enough so that they can check out the leading signals being given to them by the shepherd who's waving his arms and trying to lead them to a particular situation. I think the great shepherd is constantly teaching this apprentice of his named Neil that sheep have a destiny as well as a diet. And to me, he says, lead them on. Feed them well, but lead them on. And presently, we need to pause We need to lift our heads and we need to listen to the voice of the Lord together. He's helping us move ahead. And he wants us to be led by his Spirit through a stream that has strong current. We need to move together lest anyone lose their footing. We need to move in various areas. Now, the diet, the eating, the studying of God's word is most important. But something as important, if not more so, is following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And I want, as pastor, to lead you into some various areas. And of course, we can't mention in detail many of them, but we can list a few. One is, I want to lead you, as far as the physical is concerned, into the leasing of this property to the state. I want to lead you into remodeling. I want to lead you into updating what we have to be used by God. But importantly, more so, I need to lead you into an evangelistic concern. I'm wondering how many of you are really concerned that everybody's not going to go to heaven. Does this concern you that some of your family members may not go to heaven? Does it concern you that there are people in this city, many of whom you work with, who are going to go to hell when they die? Does this concern you? Well, I want to lead you into an evangelistic concern. I want to lead you into praising God. I want to lead you into Christian growth, into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want to lead you into various areas where we keep our vision great and high and noble. And some of the practical outworkings of a vision is this, that our church be a true New Testament fellowship which preaches and teaches and believes all of the Bible in the power of the Spirit. We must continually upgrade our facilities and our organizations to reach the hundreds of people that pass through our doors. We must use all of the media that's available to our resources to publish the glad tidings both here and there. We must minister to and cooperate with other churches. We've got to enlarge our view of the world, and in our missionary enterprise, we must be giving missionary dollars that are sacrificial and personalized and deeply spiritualized. And we must continue to pray for our young people and urge them to listen to God's call for full-time Christian service. We must practice the art of soul winning. The list is endless of the things that the pastor should lead his sheep to do. So I say we need to have the attention of all the sheep. Now our primary destiny is the kingdom of God. There are varieties of destinies as we get into and grow into the kingdom. But Dr. Luke, who was the physician, said, the kingdom of God is within you. Now, if our destiny is to be led into the kingdom, what is the kingdom then? The question is, what is the kingdom of God? Now, this is one of the many destinies. I've given you some things that we can do as a church. Destinies instead of the dieting. Now, a destiny is to be led into the kingdom. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Romans 14, verse 17 records, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, as we're talking about dieting, but the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what the kingdom is all about. So the destiny that you have as a Christian is the kingdom of God. And I want you to lead you into these elements, namely righteousness, peace, and joy. It is not something that we study about and do a word study on righteousness, peace, and joy. It is not knowing what they are, but it's experiencing these things. And this is your destiny. I want to lead you into these elements. Because there's a great deal of difference between knowing about something and experiencing something, that I give you this illustration. Salvation is based upon our belief on Jesus, not in Jesus. I hope that you read the the back page of the bulletins, and you read the little blocks off things, because every Sunday, they're real gems here. And the thing that struck me in the one this Sunday is that primarily, first of all, it's the preaching of the gospel of salvation. Now, the point I'm trying to make is there's a difference between believing in and believing on. There's a difference between knowing all about righteousness and peace and joy, for example, and experiencing these things. You can go, for example, to the airport in Monterey, and you can stand in front of an airplane, and you can say, I believe in that airplane. But there's a difference between standing there believing in the airplane and walking up the stairs and getting on the airplane, letting it do something for you. You can believe in Jesus and not be saved. You read Acts 16:31 and John 1:12, and it doesn't say believe in Jesus. It says believe on Jesus. And so there's a difference. There's a difference between studying certain subjects and experiencing certain subjects. We can know about righteousness, peace, and joy, and we cannot experience them. I want my sheep to be safe in the fold, and you are safe when you're in his will. You are safe when you try to be led into the paths of righteousness and peace and in joy. Philippians 1:11. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. The righteousness of which I'm speaking is not the type of righteousness that lords you over someone else. It's not the type of righteousness that puts you in a standing with somebody else. But it's the type of righteousness that's related to God. It's the righteousness that makes you feel good because you are identified with Jesus. You have a standing as a sonship, as a daughtership. And that's the kind of righteousness that is the kingdom of God. The scripture said that peace was the kingdom of God. If this is our destiny, what is indeed this peace? In Romans 8:6, we find that to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is peace. This is what the peace is in the kingdom. Romans 5:1 talks about being justified by faith. We have the peace. I want my sheep to have peace. The peace with God, the peace with man, the peace with self. It's like the peace we read about in the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him because he trusts in God. This peace is very, very important. And it's a kind of a peace that does something to your insides. It deals with you. You have a standing with God. It's something that you can't put in understandable words because it is not head, it's feeling. That's what joy is. It's part of the kingdom of which I want to lead you to your destiny. Romans 5:11 says, not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have received the atonement. The joy that Jesus gives us, it's the lift when we are down. It's the light for our darkness. He keeps us going. He sustains us. Well, it's like a life preserver. It's like an inner tube. But my friend, you can possess an inner tube or you can possess a life preserver and it not be inflated. And so how is it inflated? It's inflated by the Holy Ghost. Your joy is given to you. So I want to lead you to a lot of things. And this is the year of Jubilee. But there's so many people, I feel, who are so busy eating that they're not picking up their ears to listen to the spiritual directives that the pastor, the shepherd, is saying, come on and follow me. Do you hear something? Well, I may hear something, but this eating is too good. I'm going to have to keep on eating. And when you come to church and when you eat, hear the word of God, some may say, well, you know, I love the dinner. Or you might say, I love the shepherd because I've never felt so good spiritually since I started dining here. But there's more to it when the dinner's over, is my point. After you've eaten, there's more to it. The destiny. And I want to lead you into claiming all of God's promises. I want to lead you into receiving all God has for you. I want to lead you into becoming mature Christians. We have a destiny to become mature Christians. And my definition of mature Christianity is not knowledge. A mature Christian is one who is allowing something to work within their heart. There is something going on inside. Mature Christianity has nothing to do with the dieting, with the eating, with the studying. It has to do with the growing. That's what makes you mature. You can eat food, but if you don't exercise, then you are deficient and you're defeating your purpose. You're not growing. So, spiritual maturity is growth, and that's what I want to lead you into doing. The destiny is to be like Jesus. And while knowledge plays its role, the exercise, the destiny, is what Jesus is asking all of you to follow. Sheep, follow your shepherd. And shepherd, listen to God and let God lead you. And this is growth. This is living Christianity. This is destiny. You've got a destiny individually, and the church has got a destiny. And I want us all to meet our destiny. Let's stand and pray, may we? Our Father, we thank you for the sheepfold. We thank you for Jesus, who is our chief shepherd. We thank you, our Father, for the protection that's in the fold. We thank you for what the sheep are doing within this fold called the community church. May our sheep, our Father, stop feeding long enough to check out leading signals being given by the shepherd. May we lift up our ears, may we lift up our eyes on high. And may we sense at this point, as never before, the reality of, for example, life after death, the responsibility that we have to get into the kingdom, and once in the kingdom, to help others get in the kingdom. This is primary. This is first. And then for we who are in the kingdom, our Father, may we grow and grow and grow. May we be conformed and conformed and recreated into the image of Jesus. And to that end, we would ask that you continue and upgrade and even work harder the work that you're doing within our hearts and lives, so that all of us would start looking more like Jesus instead of ourselves. Lord, we're looking too much like ourselves. We want to look more like Jesus. And this happens when we stop eating and when we listen to the shepherd and when we allow the work of God to occur within our hearts. Thank you for doing that work in our hearts, making us more like Jesus. As we sing this concluding hymn, we pray that your Holy Spirit would touch our hearts and draw people down to the front to say, I want to become a Christian, to draw people to the front at this altar to say, I want to unite with the church, to draw people to say, I want to rededicate my life, to draw people to say, I want prayer. To draw people to say, the Lord is doing something and he's calling me into a special work perhaps, and I want prayer to that end. Lord, the invitation is manifold, as you know, so we leave it in your hands, but we thank you in advance for the victories. In Jesus' name, amen.